It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. And on Monday, an Egyptian prosecutor ordered the release of former President Hosni Mubarak, who's been detained in a Cairo military hospital for the better part of the last 6 years. Courts in Egypt are still grappling over Mubarak's involvement in the killing of protesters during the Egyptian revolution. Now, Mubarak ceded power in 2011 after millions of young Egyptians took to the streets demanding a new direction in the country. The 18-day uprising resulted in more than 800 deaths as demonstrators clashed with police. After public anger, he was sentenced to life in prison in 2012, but an appeal and retrial ended up with a dismissal of those charges. Mona Al-Ghabashi is an independent scholar of Egyptian politics and a lecturer at Columbia University, and she joins me now. Mona, welcome.
Thank you.
What is your interpretation of what's behind Mubarak's release now at this moment in Egypt?
Well, no one is surprised by this recent turn of events. Only 2 weeks ago, he was cleared of the most serious charges that he faced, which is responsibility for the killing of 848 protesters. Part of the timing of this actually has to do with the logic of the Egyptian criminal judicial system. And we've been following this ever since 2011. He's been involved in a series of court cases, one of which was a series of corruption charges. He can serve 3 years for those. But the most serious charges and the ones that are most symbolic and substantive had to do with his responsibility for ordering the killing of the protesters during the 18 days. The fact that he's now acquitted of those charges, the fact that not a single police officer has been charged, the fact that there's no accountability whatsoever for members of the old regime isn't surprising anyone. It's just a signal of how profoundly difficult it is to effect change in this major country.
And Egypt has been through several convulsions after Mubarak's ouster as part of the Egyptian revolution and the Tahrir Square uprising in 2011. Mohamed Morsi was elected, then overthrown. Now Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, a Mubarak ally, is in power. How does that play into this release and how Egyptians are interpreting it?
Indeed, Egypt, since that first day of protest on January 25th, 2011, has been through a seven-year series of continuous upheaval. Because what the uprising did was open up a moment of intense political struggle, the like of which the country hadn't seen before, partly as a rise of the pressures that had been building up under Mubarak's rule. This was a country that had a majority of young people who were completely excluded, not just from economic opportunities, but in any meaningful way to participate in their country's politics, a huge middle class that was also struggling and having no outlet for their political ambitions. And so the revolution was sort of the volcano that brought these forces out into the open, but it didn't mean that the old system was crumbling. Actually, the old system found its footing relatively quickly, a few months after the initial uprising, and began a concerted effort to push back this huge surge for change. And what we're seeing now is actually the triumph, ultimately, of that stronger conservative coalition.
And it's fascinating, as the world kind of looked away from Egypt to other countries, to the war in Syria, that this reentrenchment of the establishment has happened. Well, is Mubarak's political career over, or is there a second act here before we let you go?
Mubarak's political career is well over, but the meaning of what he represented is still very much alive. The president, the current president, is a Mubarak appointee. And for now, Egypt's revolution has been defeated.
Hosni Mubarak, imprisoned in 2012, is back out. And the revolution, according to Mona Al-Ghabashi, is dead in Egypt. She's an independent scholar of Egyptian politics at Columbia. Mona, thanks as always.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.